walks up trepidatiously. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm out from behind the piano. I don't have that tied behind. God is so good. I have a message for you this morning. Oh, Daniel doesn't like it already? Aww. Tough crowd. All right, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. Like, it's so sweet here. I just pray for your presence and your presence only to be in this place. No other presence can be here but yours. I pray that hearts are open, ears are open, and Lord, that you put your words into my mouth. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I'm going to be talking on the wilderness, the contesting your calling. If you notice the t-shirt I'm wearing, there's a huge story behind that I can share with you another time. But our calling will be contested. Jesus's was contested. Yours and ours will be contested. And this is going to be about, so what do we do about it? The enemy's going to come after us, what do we do? So, Luke 4, verses 1 through 12. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it all will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." So Tim often says that the devil only has two lies. Who are you? Questioning your identity. And did God really say? Questioning the goodness of God. And we see both of these in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. The enemy continues and will continue to tempt us with these two lies. My goal this morning is to help you see and notice these lies when they come, and they will come again and again, and give you a method to come against them. First, let's take a look at the timing of this temptation of Jesus. What happens right before and right after Jesus' temptation is very significant. Right before his temptation, Jesus is baptized. This is no coincidence. Then as Jesus is baptized, he's named by his Father. He is given his identity as being prepared and is being prepared for his calling. So put up Luke 3:22. "And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" In the Father's words to his Son, we see Jesus receive his identity. "You are my Son." We see Jesus spoken of with great affection, "whom I love." And finally, Jesus is affirmed, "With you I am well pleased." And notice the affirmation came before his ministry, before any public miracles, before Jesus did anything, God was pleased. We're no different. Jesus's identity is rooted and established in love. Jesus knows whose he is, who he is, and why he is. And nothing will change that. In this, God is preparing Jesus for his calling as he prepares us. And yes, it is right before he gets tempted. No coincidence. Jesus receives an enormous boost by being named and his calling established right before the enemy will try to unname him and pervert his calling. Then, right after Jesus is in the wilderness, which we'll get to in a minute, he's tempted for those 40 days. He goes to the synagogue and he immediately proclaims who he is and what he was called to do by reading from the prophet Isaiah. I don't have that in there, but it's Luke 4:18-21. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Identity given, identity challenged, identity proclaimed. No coincidence. Jesus wanted us to know that just like him, our identity, our calling, will be contested. The devil will come after us, but like Jesus, we have the weapons to defeat him. Even though Jesus went into the wilderness alone, he must have relayed his experiences with Satan to his disciples for the purpose of them and us being able to learn from him and learn how to deal with the enemy when, not if, the enemy comes after us and our identity. So let's start. Let's look at the passage. Luke 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Having just been baptized, Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit, full and satisfied by the love of God that no food or anything the world offered could satisfy. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to an alone place, a solitary place. Jesus did not take his disciples. We see throughout the Gospels that Jesus often went by himself to pray, to be alone with his Father and to rest. Isn't it interesting that in the same places where we feel the closest to God, the enemy confronts us? Where it tries to unseat us, to question or have us question our identity. Again, no coincidence. The enemy will take our most precious moments and try to distort them. He'll try to say, "So was really God really with you? Did he really say those things to you?" Those two lies. In that place that you meet God the most. We all will have had times of being in the wild and the wilderness. Our wild and wilderness are those times when we didn't see something coming. That unexpected, I wouldn't have planned it that way. That the challenges that every life faces, that's our wild, that's our wilderness. Jesus had them. We have them. We will have them. Satan is in a constant battle to unname us, to question our primary calling. And our primary calling, even though I'm up here preaching right now and say I'm in my calling, your calling as a pastor or a teacher. That's not my primary calling. My primary calling goes back to the baptism of Jesus. Your primary calling is you are a son or daughter of Christ. You are a son or daughter. You are loved and he's pleased. That's our primary calling, guys. That's our primary calling. That's what Satan wants to unseat. It's not what we do, it's who we are. Amen? Amen? And that's what Satan wants to take away from us. He wants to take away that intimacy with our Father. Because from intimacy, we know the Father's voice. We know the Father's heart. And therefore, we then do his will. Amen?
Amen?
So the doing isn't the calling. The calling is who we are. And out of who we are, we do. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The first word the devil uses is if. It's a small word. Well, good things come in small packages. Just saying. That's not in my notes, but I said it anyway. So it's a small word that leads to the two lies, that leads to us questioning our identity and our calling. If you are really loved, this wouldn't be happening. This wild you're in, this will, it, that wouldn't be happening. You, if you really are called to ministry, then why would you have doubts and fears? If God really wanted you to do this or do that, you would just be able to do it, wouldn't you? If is a powerful question. Then with the rest of the question, the enemy wants Jesus to use his power on himself. You must be really hungry with all that fasting. You have the power. Make bread for yourself. Jesus shows us how to answer the first temptation of using power for ourselves by answering with thousands of years of covenant history. He quotes from Deuteronomy 8:3, "Man does not live on bread alone." In Deuteronomy, Moses was reminding the people about the promises of God that God provided for them when they were in the desert for 40 years. He provided food. He provided water. He was reminding them of their covenant relationship with God. Jesus is reminding the devil of the same covenant that we have with our Father. He has called us his beloved, and we will take care, and he will take care of us and all of our needs, whether they be hunger for food or for intimacy with him. The second temptation, verses 5 through 8. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." In this challenge, the devil uses his often used tactic of immediate satisfaction, showed him in an instant. "Jesus, you can skip all that suffering you're going to have to go through. I can give you all the kingdoms of the world right now with all authority and splendor. Worship me and it's yours." Sounds tempting? I can honestly say on the surface, this is not tempting to me. I would not want all the authority of all the kingdoms. Nope, that's just way too much. No way. But if we dig a little deeper, many of us are actually tripped up with this temptation. When listening to a teaching on this from Dan Wilt, he explained this temptation as not us changing our allegiance from Satan to God. Or I'm sorry, from God to Satan. Said that the wrong way. It's much more subtle than that. And I quote from Dan Wilt. It is mixing our worship or synchronizing our worship with the values and ideological postures of this age, end quote. Meaning, blending our worship with the values and cultures and ideas of the world. A mix and match, should we say. A little of this, a little of that. You can have your God. Satan didn't say, don't worship your God. He said, you can have your God. But also worship this God and this God and me. Yeah? Putting it all together, mix and match. We see this happening everywhere, don't we? Tim just talked about this a couple weeks ago, conforming to the world. So it's a subtle little, it's subtle. And Jesus, once again, answers with an Old Testament covenant. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That's from Deuteronomy 6:13. This is more covenant history. In verse 14, Moses goes on to say, do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. We know that it is clear. Not only do we worship only one God, but we do not worship or follow any other gods or anything else along with our God. There is no mix and match. There is no being on the fence. We either worship God only or we don't. Amen? The third temptation, verses 9 through 12. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Back to if you are the Son of God. I find this ironic because the devil knew who Jesus was. He knew. We see it throughout the Gospels. The demons that were being driven out knew exactly who Jesus was. But yet that does not keep the devil from questioning it anyway. He is not bringing up the question for himself. He's bringing up the question so we question it. So we are kept from who we are and our calling. It is all to bring us down, to keep us from our calling, to break us, to unname us. He will be constantly questioning our identity. Not because he doesn't know, but because we don't. Satan was also wanting Jesus to use his power to manipulate people spiritually, to prove to people and perhaps himself that he is the Son of God and can do anything. Notice Satan was using scripture to tempt Jesus. Satan will use anything to manipulate and confuse us into questioning ourselves and what God has said to us and to who we are in him. Jesus' final response is from Deuteronomy 6:16. It is said, do not put the Lord your God to test. Is strong and continues to be covenant history because instead of saying it is written, he answers, it is said. Think about it. The Bible is the living word of God. It is God-breathed. By using it is said, Jesus is breathing the word of God back to Satan. Nothing is more powerful. His breath formed this world and man. It can and does defeat Satan every time. Amen. So God wants each of us to know that we are daughters and sons. We are his daughters and sons. That we are beloved and that he is pleased with us. Again, take yourself out of your doing the things you think you're supposed to be doing, the things you're doing now. Take yourself out of that. And God loves you. You're His son, you're His daughter, and He's pleased. Like the other stuff, it doesn't matter. Like He's pleased, He really is pleased. No matter what, you're like, but did you see what I did yesterday? God's like, yeah, but you asked me to forgive you and I did, so I don't even remember it. How cool is that? That's our calling. You need to know this, live this, and be able to defend yourself against the enemy who does not want you to know or live in your true identity. That's scary to him. Because then he's like, oh, they're not going to hear me anymore. They're not going to, I can't pull the rug out from under them. This is not the last time we will see Jesus tempted. As with Jesus, your identity and calling will be contested continually. But it is how we respond that makes the difference. We need to respond as Jesus did with an "it is written" or "it is said." So we're going to practice it today because part being I'm still a teacher. You can't take that out of me. We're going to come up with our own "it is written," or we're going to start it today. You're going to continue it throughout the week. Our words from the Bible that will be what we respond with when Satan comes after us. No one goes into battle without weapons. The word is our weapon against Satan's attacks on us, as Paul writes in Ephesians, the sword of the Spirit. So if you look on the back of your bulletin, you will see several questions. And we're going to go through them one at a time. I've left some space there that you guys can be writing down your answers. And you won't necessarily be able to get all of them. You'll get some stuff down today. But I suggest, yes, I'm giving you homework. Yeah, but I have your text, so yeah. So you're going to be, and you really will have to work on this. It's going to take some time with you and God in the Bible. So I'm going to ask several questions. We're going to do each of these questions just one at a time. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. Write down the first things that come to your mind. Words, phrases, pictures. Some of you are super artistic. If pictures help you, that's fine. But the first things that come to your mind, write down. Again, you can go later this week and go through and process them. So our first question, we should have the questions up here as well, is, how are you faring in the wild right now? Basically, how you doing? The wild is that stuff that's the surprising, the unknown, the unexpected, the I wouldn't have planned it that way. How you doing? And you might be like, you know, I'm not in a wild right now. But is there a little something that the devil's just knocking on your shoulder with? Like, So how you doing right now? Give you a couple minutes. Your next question, and again, you can come back to this one later if you need to add to it, that's okay. How is your calling being contested in this season? So you might be in a wild right now, you might be in a semi-wild, you might be in a just after the wild, you might be in a just before the wild. How do you feel like your calling's being contested? Remember, when I talk about your calling, I'm talking about your identity, your belovedness. your value before God. How's that being questioned right now? Your identity is you are a son or daughter who is beloved and he is well pleased. Is any of that being contested? Is that, again, the devil knocking on you a little bit? What about this? Any words or phrases, pictures? I'm going to go to the third question again. You can come back to this question later if you need to. This one's going to take a little, these last two will take longer. I'm only going to give you a little bit of time, but these two you're probably going to really want to process through. How is Jesus inviting you to respond? So you've got some stuff maybe going on in the wilderness or not. I mean, but there's always stuff going on. Satan's always got a little something. How you feeling in it? What's going? How is Jesus inviting you to respond? What Holy Spirit promptings are you feeling? What are you hearing from God in this? Like, oh, I think he's saying this. I think, and it's okay if you're like not sure. Just write down like, am I supposed to be doing this? Any response? Any feelings of way you think you could or should respond to what's going on? That one's a little bit harder. It's a little bit more nebulous. That's okay. You might come up with something later like, oh, now I'm hearing it. Oh, okay. And then the last one, last question. What is your, it is written, that you can take with you into the wild? What word or phrases are you going to use from Scripture when you are led into the wilderness? What will you say to Satan? You know, we have things, sometimes we just have to say, Satan, shut up. Now, we know that's not scriptural. Well, I don't know. It is. Jesus told them, be muzzled. That's not any different. Well, that is scriptural. Okay. But sometimes we have to, is there a covenant history? And it doesn't have to be from the Old Testament. There can be New Testament stuff that's just as powerful. But do you feel like, and again, this is where it's going to take a little bit longer. You might not have your Bibles with you. Or I know when I have my Bible on my phone, I can't find stuff. But I know where it is in my Bible at home. You open this page, it's right there. But if you know the book or you know the chapter or you know some phrases from it and you can find that book or chapter later, what's coming to your mind right now like, ooh, maybe this would be it. So just write down some words or phrases or a book from the Bible that you're going to go back to this week and go, oh, this could be my it is written. and this one you'll want to come back, definitely want to come back to and get your It Is Written. Might be have something to do with our preparing for worship this week. So you're not going to get away with, oh, I didn't remember. Anywho, I'll share kind of my It Is Written. Before I even heard this teaching on this passage in Luke, and before I even know what I was going to be writing this message, God was already preparing me for my It Is Written. He is just amazing, isn't he? This is, you go back and go, oh, I see what you did there. I was like, God, you set me up. He's like, yes, I did. Back in the 18th, all the time. Back in January, I was journaling and writing down about how I've always, for years, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and discouraged. God is always with you. That's all. It's just ever like Joshua. I just love the first chapter in Joshua. It says it like 4 or 5 times. And I'm like, always go back to that. And when I read it, I'm like, oh, it's just always, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. But have you ever had, you just read it and you're like, oh, yeah, that's just my verse. So I wrote it down. I was reading 1 Chronicles, and it popped out to me again. 1 Chronicles 28:20. David also said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. And I wrote that down. But as I was doing this and looking through this passage and finding my It Is Written, I was going back in my journal, and I went, oh, that's my It Is Written. It took me a little while. I'm a slow learner sometimes. I went, oh, that's it. My way of responding to Satan, when he comes after my calling, when he comes after my belovedness, I'm wearing the t-shirt to let myself know it. My It Is Written, the Lord God, my God, is with me. I will not be afraid. I will be strong and courageous. That's my It Is Written. You come after me, Satan, and I'm coming after you with that. I'm coming after you with that. I'm going to come after you with that every time. It is written, and if I have to, I will say it is said. Because that's the living word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is done. Yeah. All right.
All right, can you hear me now? Oops, gonna suck feedback again, isn't it?
Hey, McCray, that one.
Well, I probably haven't used the mic in 10 years.
Oh, that could be.